Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going
home. A very good evening to everyone. We thank God for another Saturday, and it's always a privilege to come your way. I'm Eben. I'm going to be with you from now till 9 p.m. And it's going to be, loaded. Lots of things to talk about. Last week, I had some of the executives of the SU, Scripture Union, Ashanti Region, joining me. And we were supposed to have a series of 4 weeks and talking about a lot of things. Unfortunately, tonight, they couldn't make it because of the little shadow came up. So tonight I'll be here alone, as I've been most of the time. But God willing, next week they'll be joining and we'll be having a part two of the discussion we started last week. But those who missed last week, you can also listen to it online, spiritissues.info. And those in the Telegram group, you can also get it there as well. It's a very good discussion we had regarding our children in the SHS and JHS. Parents should be enlightened, siblings and all. You know, if you have brothers, you have sisters, you have cousins, and all. I mean, all those who really need to know what is happening and how to help. This series that we are embarking on, I believe, is going to be of great help. And indeed, the times that we find ourselves in is not just ordinary, because so much is happening in our education system behind the scenes, and it's so important people get acquainted with some of these things so that you can know how to advise, how to educate them, and all that, preparing your children as they go to SHS, those who just had their results released for the BEC. So last week's edition is online, spiritissues.info, and in the Telegram group, Spirit Issues, you can get it there. And God willing, next week we'll be continuing from there. But tonight, I will starting up the news as usual, and I'll be talking about something very important as well this evening. So let me start with one favorite song of mine, and we move on from there. Maranatha Singers.
Your cry for mercy echoes my name. Now and forever, I'll be at hand. I will be with you, I will be with you, for that's who I am. Your side, your prayer for deliverance will not be denied. I'll fight the battle that evil might wage. Oh, I will be with you, I will be with you till the end of the
indeed, he promises that he will be with us. Beautiful song by the Maranatha Singers. I'm Eben, and the program is Issues of Life. From now till 9 p.m., I'm going to be with you. First, let's get into the news. A lot of things happening this week. Let's start from the U.S., where we have a Chinese spy balloon floating high in the atmosphere, moving across the U.S., and this has really been a big issue for them, because if they shoot it down, they fear, they don't know what's in the balloon actually. So there is a fear that shooting it down could also cause a problem and danger to people and infrastructure on Earth. So they are waiting for it to cross to the Atlantic Ocean site before they shoot it down and retrieve it. But it raises a lot of issues, because if the Chinese can have this balloon floating in the skies of the U.S. comfortably, and this is a big balloon, about three buses, I mean, the size of about three buses. And so the Chinese government responds. But let me just quickly read the excerpts of it. The U.S. is considering a plan to shoot down the Chinese spy balloon once it crosses over the Atlantic Ocean, where it could fall without causing harm to anyone below. The official said it's unclear if President Biden has made a final decision on the plan, according to the Associated Press. And then the surveillance balloon was most recently seen flying over the southeastern United States, that's today, as of today, and spotted in parts of North and South Carolina as it made its way towards the Atlantic coast. Pentagon officials on Thursday disclosed that a surveillance balloon believed to be of Chinese origin had been tracked flying over Montana. The Chinese Foreign Ministry acknowledged the balloon was Chinese on Friday, claiming it was a civilian weather aircraft that had flown, of course, due to force majeure that's beyond their control, strong winds beyond their control. But then other security agencies or other security experts are asking, what if there was, a bomb inside and comfortably floating across the U.S.? That means then the U.S. is not safe. Or what if there's an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, which can be detonated up in the skies and it would destroy everything electronic in the certain radius and circumference? So it really, really, really gives a lot of worries to them in the U.S., how the Chinese can comfortably send their spy. Well, they say they didn't send it. It's the wind that blew it. But, you can't trust the Chinese when it comes to some things. Well, that's one way of it. And then the war, Ukraine-Russia war is also still ongoing. But it's taking a certain shape, which is becoming worrying, because with the West now, or NATO West, now boosting the arms supplies and armored tanks, and even the talk of warplanes coming up, it really shapes the whole thing, because now Russia has drawn the line that, well, you are now fully involved in this. As to the next steps Russia is going to take, well, only time will tell. But there's evidence to show, according to the Ukrainian government, that Russia is planning a huge onslaught, on the event's anniversary, that's 24th February. Well, time will tell. But that war doesn't seem to end anytime soon, unless something dramatic comes up. All right. Let's look at this. This report is a bit worrying. Not a bit, it's worrying. This is regarding the UK. Average age of Christians rises to 51 years, according to census reports. So the census shows more under 65 years below now declare no religion for the first time, whilst Muslims are just 27 on the average. So the latest release from the 2021 census shows changing face of religion amongst ages. Christians getting older and now outnumbered by no religion, that's quote unquote those no religion category among the under 65s. The country's shifting beliefs were laid bare to, with census figures showing the average age of Christians being 51 years, and the age has risen from 45 at the time of the last huge survey in England and Wales in 2011. For the first time, the research in 2021 found that more of those aged under 65 said they had no religion than were Christian. Although the age profile for other religions was also up, Christians were by far the oldest. Muslims, on the average, just 27 years. The oldest average for people identifying as Muslims was up from 25 in 2011. Hindus were up from 32 years to 37 years. The Sikh from 32 years to 37 as well. Then the Buddhists from 37 to 43. The average for people said they were Jewish was unchanged at 41. Nearly 3 in 10, that's 10 to 29%, nearly 3 in 10 to 29% of those who identified as Christian at this census were age 65 and over. That was up from just 22.3% a decade before. By contrast, the proportion of 21 to 25-year-olds identifying as Christian has fallen from 5.1% to 3.9%. Only 8.8% of those who said they had no religion were age 65 and over, compared with 18.6% of the overall population who belong to this age group. More than half of people in each year from age 22 to age 30 said they had no religion, and that is serious. Some 20.25 million of under 65s said they had no religion. Wow. Compared to 19.53 in the age band who were Christian. That contrasts with 2011, when 25.85 million under 65 declared they were Christian, and just 13.31 million had no religion. Wow, that's really, really serious. The shift is huge. Humanists UK Chief Executive Andrew Copson said, "Today's results only serve to underline the archaic place that collective worship and faith-based discrimination have in our schools that urgently needs to be looked at." But more generally, they make plain that the UK faces a non-religious future. This is in stark contrast to how our state institutions operate today. No other European country has such a religious setup as we do in terms of law and public policy, whilst at the same time having such a non-religious population. Politicians, now listen to this part, this last paragraph. Politicians should look at today's results and recognize they must renegotiate the place of religion or belief in today's society. Politicians should look at today's results and recognize they must renegotiate the place of religion or belief in today's society. See, in effect, they are trying to say that the old school religion, Christianity, is old school, is out of place. So shouldn't have influence in societal decisions, in laws, and in whatever. Eventually, that's where this thing is headed. Yes, this is the UK, but if other countries are to do some of these surveys, the results will not be that much different, because there's a shift. The youth, the children, the teenagers, the youth are drifting away from religion. Especially Christianity, they are drifting away from it. And this survey really points to that. You see, this whole educational agenda where religion, Christianity, is being pushed out of schools and is being demonized and all that, the results of these actions is what the UK is seeing. And the US is having similar issues, the numbers similar. See, I keep saying that some of these statistics or these surveys, you are not doing them here. But if we are to do some of these surveys in Ghana, even in Ghana, I will not be surprised that we'll have the shifting similar. The numbers will not be as huge as it is there in the UK, but we'll have a certain shifting happening, because when you look at the trend of communication online, in social communication, social media, and all the stuff, the youth, the teens, and all, there's a growing non-Christian aspect of it, where the youth are becoming more like independent, out of, we are not under any control. Christianity is old school. I mean, it's a white man's religion. I mean, we are hearing these things. So, you see, there's a way of pushing Christianity as a white man's religion. We don't need it. It's obsolete. It's old school. It's for the old people. Some of these arguments are happening in the West, and they are seeing declining numbers. We are seeing some of these arguments here. Some being like common sense, whatever. It's like, you know, all sorts of rationalizing arguments and all. Clearly, it also points to the failure of the church. It shows clearly how the church has failed and is still failing. Because let's look at this case in point in the UK. Had the church been vibrant and active, the children who are growing up now, who are leaving the faith, they would have been in church. But because the church itself has lost its voice and the church is no longer making an impact, the children, the teenagers, the youth are no longer seeing the relevance of it. Because if they find themselves in a home, mother has stopped going to church, father has stopped going to church, what is the motivation for the children to go to church? They follow suit. So you see, something is happening which the church should be really worried. Now let me come to Ghana in this context. We should be worried because evangelism is, I'll call it, it's like, it's becoming like a dying trend. It's virtually dead. Let me even go say that much. Evangelism is almost dead in most churches today in the country, in Ghana. Evangelism has become an old school thing. It's now becoming difficult to evangelize, even if you go out there. I mean, you talk to anyone who has been doing evangelism in recent times. Everybody you meet, almost everybody says, I'm a Christian. I mean, you know, I mean, it's people even sitting at the blue kiosk, you know, doing their thing, drinking their thing. You know, they will say they are born again. Everybody claims to be born again. It's becoming so difficult to reach out to people now, because now the church itself is not, very few churches even show interest in these things. Very few churches have missions, departments that are really vibrant. Very few churches. And gradually we are losing our voice because of, you know, sometimes some of the things, the stories of some pastors in the news and this, some of the false prophets. So they are all giving a certain name to Christianity, which doesn't look good. So it's making it a bit more, the youth are taking advantage of some of these things and, you know, turning their backs on the church because they are not seeing any real positive thing coming out from the church and all. We really have a lot of work to do. And I believe some of these things, churches should start asking themselves retrospective issues, discussing these things. Are we really, really doing what we have to do? Are we not losing focus as the body of Christ? Case in point, Ghana. I mean, how can we spend all our time, the body of Christ, deliberating and discussing a cathedral, which is not going to bring souls anyway? A tourism edifice, That is our focus as believers in a country. When souls are dying and going to hell, we are interested in building an edifice for tourism in the name of a cathedral. It's one of the examples of how we've lost focus as Christians. We've lost focus. Is this the most important thing the church should be engaged in? No. But what do we see? That's exactly what we are seeing and hearing in the news. Because we've lost focus. Where is our interest in souls, the crusades? When was the last time you saw these big churches holding big crusades? A foreigner will will have his money, travel, Daniel Kulenda of Benin, Windham Bonkies ministry, come, spend millions, whatever, how much, come and do a crusade here. But we here, when was the last time you saw churches do crusades to win souls? No, we don't have money for that. We have money, but not for that purpose. No. Even if you want to do a crusade now, let's say, a pastor or a few pastors decide, oh, let's do Kumasi-wide crusade and let's rally all churches in the city. I can tell you for a fact, not all churches will be interested. Because, who is organizing it? This pastor, I won't join. Which church is doing it? I won't join. It's like, what's wrong with us? What's wrong with Christians? Even to win souls, we cannot come together to win souls for Christ. We cannot, because we are not even one. To even win souls for Christ, we can't even agree that let's come together, let's put our differences aside, doctrinal issues aside, and come together and win souls for Christ. No, we can't agree on that. Because of power play, it's this person who organizes it. Okay, so I can't be part of it. Who is he? He just came into the ministry. All these things. And whilst we are busy looking at ourselves and doing our internal politics or whatever we call it, people are dying and going to hell. Christians, people who were born in church as Christians, little children, are growing up, going to the universities and leaving the faith. It doesn't start, it's not just a one-day shift, it's a gradual shift. This statistics I'm reading about UK, that's how it starts. Little by little, then the numbers are changing, the statistics are changing. And we'll sit there, and one day we'll be having these statistics like that in Ghana, because the church is busy sleeping when we should be busy doing the master's work. God help us. Okay, so the next one. Christian mother, still in the UK. Christian mother takes school to court over forcing 4-year-old to attend LGBT pride parade and watch video of men kissing. 4-year-old. You know, sometimes when you look at some of the LGBT news, you just wonder what has come over humanity. And you have the UK courts. A UK court is hearing the case of a devout born-again Christian whose 4-year-old son was forced to participate in an LGBT pride parade. It's the first time a British court will decide the legality of imposing LGBT ideology on primary school age students. Izzy Montag filed the lawsuit against Heavers Farm Primary School in Croydon, South London, on the grounds of discrimination, victimization, and breach of statutory duties under the Education Act 1996 and the Human Rights Act 1998, according to the Christian Legal Center, which is supporting the 38-year-old mother. On the first day of the 8th-day hearing on Wednesday, Judge Christopher Letham of the Central London County Court said Montag and her husband are devout born-again Christians and they bear a belief that sexual relations should be abstained from or take place within a lifelong marriage between a man and a woman, and any activity outside those confines is sinful, the Times of UK reported. They also say pride is considered to be most serious of the deadly sins, added the judge. The court will also examine the impact of false LGBT ideology on religious discrimination, parental rights, and the duty of schools to maintain political neutrality. In June 2018, the head teacher of the Southeast London School informed Montag that her son couldn't opt out of an LGBT Pride March event. The school sent a letter inviting pupils to celebrate differences. But after Montage asked for her son to be excused, her request was denied. Montage argued that the parade was discriminatory against children following Christian or other mainstream religions and created a hostile and intimidating atmosphere for parents who oppose LGBT ideology being imposed on their children. At a subsequent formal meeting between AZ, that's the woman, and the school hierarchy to discuss the concerns, the head teacher's daughter wore a t-shirt that read, "Why be racist, sexist, homophobic, or transphobic when you can just be quiet?" The June 2018 Pride Month event at the primary school was heavily influenced by Stonewall, an LGBT activist organization, and the Christian Legal Center is representing the woman. You know, 4-year-old. Why would you even want to teach a 4-year-old about these things? But that's the standard. That's what they are doing now. And it's worrying. It's worrying because they are sowing the seeds of destruction in these children. The next news item really confirms it. Children as young as 9 years exposed to pornography, according to a study. And this, interestingly, are still in England today. It looks like this week a lot of the news England related. Children are being exposed to online pornography from as young as 9 years, according to a study from the Children's Commissioner for England. A quarter of 16 to 21 year olds first saw pornography on the internet while still at primary school, it suggests. By the age of 13, 50% had been exposed to it. The findings have been linked to low self-esteem among young people and harmful views of sex and relationships. Commissioner Dame Rahel D'Souza said it was deeply concerning. In a nationally representative survey of more than 1,000 of 16 to 21-year-olds, 38% had found pornographic content accidentally. Joanne Schneider's son stumbled across a pornography website aged 8 years after typing swear words he had heard at school into a search engine. He would put all the normal safety features in place and had removed apps such as YouTube, but didn't for 1 second think that my son could find himself on adult entertainment sites within a few seconds, Miss Snyder from London said. As soon as I saw what was happening, I closed the site, but both him and I were left in shock, that's his husband and the woman, at what he had seen. I felt so terrible about the whole thing. All of a sudden, I was able to explain it all, including the fact that what he saw was artificial and far from what real people look like. Of the 18 to 21-year-olds, 79% had seen pornography involving sexual violence as children. Almost half of the young people say girls expect sex to involve physical aggression, such as airway restriction, according to the commissioner's report. One 12-year-old told Dame Rahel that her boyfriend had strangled her during their first kiss. He had seen it in porn and thought it was normal. The commissioner urges every adult in a responsible position to take the findings seriously. The online safety bill going through the House of Lords should be used to protect children from internet pornography, she says. It should not be the case that young children are stumbling across violent and misogynistic pornography on social media sites, them, Rahel says. I truly believe we will look back in 20 years and be horrified by the content to which the children were being exposed. Let me be absolutely clear. Online porn is not equivalent to a top shelf magazine. The adult content which parents may have accessed in their youth could be considered quaint in comparison to today's world of online pornography. Twitter is a primary source of porn for young people, the study suggests, with 41% saying they had accessed it there. Dedicated porn sites came next, followed closely by Instagram, Snapchat, and search engines. The National Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Children charity has long been urging the government to implement strong measures in online safety bill to protect minors. Policy lead Richard Collard said the impact porn could have was deeply worrying. Ofcom must be given the powers to set minimum standards, such as ensure the rollout of robust age assurance measures on platforms where porn material can be viewed, he said. This will ensure children are protected from immediate and future harm. Andy Lutham, from safety technology provider Verify Mine, said the report was extremely worrying but sadly not surprising. As it stands, there is nothing to stop children from easily accessing porn and other extreme material online, he said. This issue has existed for far too long. It's time for politicians, regulators, and private sector to finally come together and help safeguard children, the most vulnerable section of the society. A few years ago, I finished the news, now this particular story, a comment on this. A few years ago, some friends and I were having a good news club in a community somewhere on the Durban Road stretch. And on one of the Saturdays, it was Saturday afternoons that we used to do the club, the good news club for the children. And one of the ladies, my friends, asked the children how many of them have seen porn before. To our utter shock and surprise, of the about 30 children who were there under the tree where we were meeting near a school, or on a school compound naturally under a tree, only two had their hands down. If I'm to say in all my life, the things that have shocked me is one of the days that I had such a shock, because ideally, it's not really in the Kumasi environment direct, because it's a bit, that even falls under Achuma Kwama district. It's not that, it's not even in KMA. So it's a bit further. It's not under the, so it's not a rural, it's not a village, no, but you classify it as semi, you know, they are not too city lifestyle, but these children had access. I mean, I was so shocked. I didn't know what to say, nothing to say. I'm just amazed and just standing there. Wow. Oh no, it's serious. So you see, there is a growing threat in our society. There's a growing threat in our society. You know, I keep saying that we don't have these statistics. We are not doing these surveys in the country. But if we are to do some of these surveys in this country, in this region here, if we are not careful, we may even have higher numbers than what we are seeing from the UK. There's a major issue. I was discussing this news item with one of the panelists I had when we did the digital parenting. He is outside the country now. So I shared it to him. We're discussing it. And let me quickly open the chats we had. Also quite a worrying issue there. What's his feedback when we're chatting? He commented on and said, okay, so his response was very serious. Ghana stats on internet say porn is third highest traffic. Ghana's population is majority Christians. We are ranked 79th on the global COP index. Then he gave me the link. I'm here to read it. You see, so if a third of all the data, the traffic in Ghana, internet traffic in Ghana, is to pornography, then we are in trouble as a country. That's why I, when COVID came, and you know, this sudden rush online, children online, I was really not in favor of it. That's because, you see, we were just rushing online education, online for children, online, without putting in the safety measures first. Unfortunately, how many homes have safety measures regarding these things, the systems to block? We've rushed and pushed our children the new education curriculum, research things online, search things online. How many homes have the means to block these things? How many homes have antivirus, anti-spam, where you can configure it to block this traffic to the home devices? How many people who have antiviruses on their machines in Ghana? I mean, I dare say less than 5% of people have antiviruses which are active, correct? Not the free ones. I mean, real antivirus, anti-malware, anti-spam, all these systems that you can configure to protect your children online. Less than 5% of people with devices have these things in the country. So you see, we are rushing to expose our children online in the name of, oh, every country is doing it online. We are online. Recently, I heard the government talk about giving tablets to all SHSs. And I mean, when I sent that link to my friend, he was like, the first question he asked was, so have you thought of the cybersecurity risks in the first place? You see, so we are busy thinking online digitization. But the other side, who is thinking about protecting the children online? What policies are we putting in place to protect the children online? Nothing. So our children are being exposed seriously. And you see, when we did the digital parenting on this show, we talked a lot about these things, what parents should do. I believe when we finish this SHS, JHS, with the SU discussions we are having for the next few weeks, I'll get a bit into it again, because it's worrying as you have children. I mean, recently I was on a call with my clients, one of my clients outside, and you know, so she was screaming at the child, like, she should go and do her homework, and she was bragging, you know, the computer and her homework. And you know, the way she was, I was just laughing, because it's like, you know, yes, it may look good, but you see, from where I sit, these things don't impress me, because on the other side, are we thinking of the harm these devices are causing to our children, the exposure they are having? Because a lot of the people busy talking about these things are very ignorant about the dangers. So yes, it's nice. Oh, my child is using computer he can research. Okay, good. But have you thought of their protection online? Do you know what they know? You see, when I was reading the UK story, one of the case studies, the child said the words, he heard in school when he came home, came to type it. See, so as part of their research, now as research homework and then research other things they are hearing, that's where the trouble comes. Do know what they've heard? Do know what they want to research on beyond the homework? What measures have you put in place as they are researching, doing their homework? Are you aware of what else they are doing besides the homework? If you don't have time for your children now, the devil will have time for them. So you have to make time for them. Do it with them. Let the computer be at a place where you can see what they are seeing. If it's a phone that you are using to do it, then ensure that you have the right apps on it to protect them so that they don't get exposed to anything. It's a whole lot of challenges we have to look at these things when we are exposing our children without looking at the safety nets. Then the last news item, and Whoa, time flies. Gamers and parents shocked after popular kids video game promotes new transgender, quote, top surgery scar. So the four sim, the Sims 4, it's a game, the Sims 4, Sim, S-I-M-S, and then the number 4, the Sims 4, is allowing non-binary players to select they and them, you know, those new pronouns that they have, the transgender, they, them, in the game. And the game series that is marketed to children is coming under attack for its recent update, allowing characters to have double mastectomy scars and chest binders. So, like, those who have had surgeries to remove their breasts, transgendering to men, women going to men. So the game is allowing that to happen. So you see the scar on the person's chest. That's, you see, it's all the psychological game they are playing on the minds of the children, normalizing this whole thing. Normalizing the whole thing. And I believe Christians, we have to be very alert and know the game the devil is playing. You see, we shouldn't just rush into technological advancements. When it comes to technology, yes, it's good, but we should hasten slowly in the things we allow our children to have access to, the things we buy for our children. You know, a lot of these games these days, if you really do a lot of research about them, some have hidden parts of the game that when they review, they don't even show it. So these are like behind the scenes. There's one game, how come I've forgotten the name? And in this game, there are portions of the game where you can rape someone in the game. Yes, you heard me right. Video game. You see, so in this game, children are playing it. People are playing it in Ghana. We have to be careful what we expose our children to. We allow them to be exposed to, you know, PlayStation, Xbox, you know, it's like these games, they go to school, they go and copy, change it, take the game from their friends. How many parents know what their children are playing? Even worst of all, they allow them to play it in their rooms. So, out of view from the parents. See, a lot of these things, parents you can hold parents completely responsible, because had they really been apt to their duties as parents, some of these things wouldn't happen to their children. Anyway, I'll be back briefly after this song.
When we have a work to do, and the task ahead seems bigger than you, that's when He steps in. When you know in your heart that God's command takes more than can be done by man, that's when He steps in. He sees you at the point of your need. He sees you at the point of crossing your Red Sea. In the moment you call, when you give in your all, He steps in. He steps in and He'll say, in your head.
have is oil in a jar. That's a reflection of where you are. That's when he steps in. Oh yes. A little boy's lunch of fish and bread is all you have for the needy. That's when he steps in. Let him take it and bless it and break it and give it. He'll multiply it in the moment you live it, and in the moment you call. When you've given your all, he steps in.
A song by Alvin Slaughter. That's when. Now back to the discussions. The news I was talking about relative to the SU talk we had last week, and God knows what will continue next week. Parents have a serious role to play, especially in these times we live in. Because there is a grand attempt. It's gone beyond attempts. A grand movement to ensure that they indoctrinate the children against God. And you see, it is working. The strategies and the plans they've put in place. If you've been listening to this program for some years now, the things I've been talking about, it is yielding results for them. The statistics I read from the UK, I'm not surprised. I've seen similar ones. The US, I'm not surprised. Because, you see, the principle is simple. What you sow is what you reap. If you're able to sow anti-God sentiments in the children at that early stage, as they become teenagers, by the time they become youth, they hate anything God. That's what we are seeing in the Western societies now. It's not that the youth just woke up and suddenly they hate God. They don't like Christians. They are anti-Christian. They are anti-gospel. They are anti-Jesus. It just didn't happen one night. No. It was a systemic agenda. They started it young when they were at the KG. Touch them young, they'll be yours forever. So they sow the seeds when they are children, and then increase the tempo when they become a bit older, and then further when they become teenagers. By the time they reach the universities, they're already off. And this agenda is being used in the the cartoons, the entertainment systems, entertainment media, the platforms, the movies, the various entertainment systems we know. You know, we are virtually like a Western society now, pair these things, you know, we watch the entertainment things, the decoder, satellite, so we are exposed to these things, similar things. The same things that have destroyed these children there, and now the youth and teenagers and all, we are busy embracing them here. We are busy embracing them here. The social media, you know, it's sad that parents see nothing wrong. Some parents, of course, not all. But if you're a parent and your little child, I mean, not too little, but 11, 10, 12, 13, 14, is on social media, you should be worried. You should be worried. But some see it as, well, it's their time. There's nothing wrong with it. Well, the biblical saying, I mean, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. It applies in these things too. For lack of knowledge about the dangers out there, the children are perishing. And as parents, I'm talking to Christian parents in this context, we should not sit down and allow the devil to snatch our children from our hands. We shouldn't. We have to wage the warfare to get them back in prayer, in counseling. But how do you counsel when you don't even have the knowledge? Because counseling should be based on knowledge. Parents are not equipped. You see, and some of these things, I still blame the church. What efforts are churches putting in to educate parents about these things? Little or not much. The times, you see, the world has shifted at a very fast rate, and we are not catching up. We are struggling to catch up. Marriage counseling has been the same since Kojo. I mean, the same counseling topics, nah, recycling, the same over the years. No, the world has changed. To be a parent now is not the same as being a parent in 1980 and 1990. No. So if you are counseling parents or potential parents who are about to be married, the counseling cannot be the same as you, the pastor, you were counseled when you were getting married in 1980 or 1970. The shifting is so huge that if we go by the same principles, we are going to fail. And we are failing because lack of knowledge in the systems, the strategies the enemy is using to wage warfare against us, it's exposing our weaknesses. It's exposing us big time because we are just not aware of the game he's played. The game plan the enemy is using, the church is just not catching up. And we are not ready to learn. We are not ready to also seek counsel to know how to then go about it. Either praying to God to give us wisdom, direction. There's an element of what God will do, the wisdom and knowledge and all. Discernment, and there's also physical knowledge you should seek, because there are some things you should know how to do, how not to do, some equipment. I mean, like the children, your children, what the children should watch, what you should disable and all. These are physical knowledge you should seek. Knowledge that you should seek about solving or stopping some things. You see, so there's a role that we have to really go ahead and learn and do it. There's a whole lot that we are missing out, and our children are getting exposed by the day. Now, when they move out into schools, it's a whole ball game altogether. What efforts are we putting in? And I believe, let me end this evening's edition. We need to get back to God for wisdom. James 1:5, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it simply says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. We need a special kind of wisdom in this time we are in. Oh, yes. We need, we just can't operate with our old school wisdom. Oh, sahani, yeah. No. We need divine wisdom for the times we are in, because these are very complex times. Very, very complex. So we just can't move by our own strategies and ideas, because it will not be enough to match what the enemy is doing. We need divine wisdom. And with divine wisdom, that will guide us to know what to do, the need, and all that. The Holy Spirit will then guide, seek wisdom and seek knowledge in this. And then you know how to do, or who to, consult and all. Because divine wisdom is what will really help you and position you in seeking the right knowledge for particular issues. And that is what we need. We need it seriously. And let's get to God in prayer. Pray for our children more than ever before. Because the battle is very, very strong now against the children. We need to wage war on behalf of our children. All too soon, the time is up. God willing, next week will be coming your way. I'll be having the SCU team join again for the interesting discussion we started last week. For those who missed last week's edition, you can download or listen to it, spiritissues.info, or in the Telegram group, Spirit Issues. I'm Eben. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Let me check if I have some messages before. Okay, I don't think so. Oh, too late. Okay, so good night and God bless you.